we're talking about this morning is a portion of scripture from Second Corinthians, and it unlocks some of the great mysteries of the Christian life and work to all believers around the globe. It's God's power channeled through human weakness. I want you to think about how God's power is channeled through our weakness. It's not our great talents. It's His power. I know what I just said is true, not only because the Bible tells me so, but because I was made new when I saw who I really was after my daughter Jamie died. I was highly influenced by the culture of the 60s and 70s. We questioned authority, we were insecure, lust-filled, and seeking after every pleasure available. I was that and more. I met Katina and we were married, and our first daughter was born, Jamie Michelle. The child Katina had longed for, but she died in the hospital. I remember comforting Katina, telling her that our Jamie was in heaven and other such things I thought Katina needed to hear to deal with her loss. Yet, I didn't believe that to be true. Once I got home, I had time to myself, I looked at my life, and I saw a liar, a broken, selfish, powerless man of little value. But God used an old friend with gospel portions, a brother, a brother-in-law, and others to speak truth in love to me and to Katina. And once I understood I could be forgiven for my sins and rebellion, I like that offer. Since I have come to understand my identity in Christ, I can live free of the condemnation I was under. I was made new, and I am still being made new. I know God's power, taking all my brokenness in exchange for giving me hope and a future. At times, I see how the Holy Spirit uses even me for His glory. God is making me new. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how God is working in the body of Bethel here. What do we offer Fairmont? What do we offer the surrounding area? We have a mission statement to love God, love others, and to make disciples of Jesus so that God is glorified, so our communities are blessed, and make disciples of Jesus. What does that look like? I believe Paul used by God to give us an answer in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3, 4, and 5. A big mouthful, but I've got a big mouth. It helps us understand how God works. I am challenged to illustrate that. How does God work in the world? An old poem by Myra Brooks Welch helps me tie some of these thoughts together. So please consider with me today a question implied. Do you see yourself in Christ? Or is He far off? The touch of the Master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidden, good folks? He cried. Who will start the bidding for me? A dollar, two? Only two? $2, and who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, wiped the dust from the old violin, tightened the loose strings. He played the melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quite low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going, going, gone, he said. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he's going twice. He's going almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he came as a suffering servant, was put to death, and was raised from the dead, we're in good company. I viewed myself from the world perspective, but God, by his Spirit, touched my life. He changed my life because of Jesus Christ, and I would hope that all who hear the Spirit's invite today would choose new life offered by Jesus Christ. Our text this morning calls us to look at the Master, not only the call of the world, not the lust of the flesh, nor the lies of the evil one. God uses the simple things of the world to confound the wise. A simple thing like me, broken but made whole in Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 1, we'll be reading, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you should know that we are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. Such is the confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved on letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze on Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed the glory. Indeed, in this case, what was once had glory had come to no glory at all, because the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will a permanent have glory. Since we have a hope, we are bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when we read the Old Covenant, that same veil unlifted because of through Jesus is taken away. Yes, it is to this day, whenever Moses is read, that veil is still over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And all we with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You might say, I don't feel full of confidence that you speak of. That may be true, but the fact is stated in verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves and claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. for the letter kills, the spirit gives life. Jesus made it clear. He is the door to heaven, to come into the presence of God. Have you asked Jesus to open the way for you? Is there nothing to do with it? Has nothing to do with your good intentions or your good behavior or your pedigree. Only if you trust Jesus in his finished work on the cross. Once you have confidence in his finished work of Jesus, you are reconciled with the Father, and only then do you have strength from God's Spirit living in us. We have been made new, born again, born from above. In verse 16, to end up chapter 3, he says, but when one turns from the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for it comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In chapter 4, he goes on to talk about having this ministry by the mercy of God. We don't lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what is proclaimed is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts and to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body of death in Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and I spoke. We believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with Jesus and bring us into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that we are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. How can something as common as a clay pot, a red clay flower pot, be transformed into a priceless vessel worth eternal? The answer really is in that poem. Are you in the Master's hand? Are you showing all the all-surpassing greatness of God and enjoying his presence? Once we trust Jesus for sealing us with his Holy Spirit, we are reconciled with the Father. Then we must be reconciled and continue to be reconciled with others, first with those close to us, then as much as it lies possible with us to all men. just as God was reconciling the world to Jesus, work on the cross, now we are Christ's ambassadors, calling men to be reconciled to God. We live not for ourselves, but for him who died a criminal's death and took our sin and our rebellion. We are also sealed by the Holy Spirit and have promise of heaven. No more fear, no more sadness, just increasing joy to be in his presence. Count on these truths. But we also know that Jesus wants us to live by his Spirit. And his message to those is perishing. In chapter 5, he goes on. He says, for we know that the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made from hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put our heavenly dwelling. If indeed we put it on, we will not be found naked, for we were still in this tent. We groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. By putting it on, we may be not found naked. While we put on this tent, we groan. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. And so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due him while he's done in the body, whether good or bad. Therefore, we know the fear of the Lord. We persuade others. But what we are is known to God. I hope it is also known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to hope to boast in us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about the outward appearance, not what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in your right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see yourself as that old violin? Beaten, scarred, powerless, not of any great value? Are you beaten down by the world system telling that you are too fat, too skinny, too tall, too short, too broken to come to Jesus? He is close by. Are you letting your fleshly appetites dictate your choices? Do you see yourself as a victim without hope? Do you feel abandoned? Are you letting the lies of the evil one bind you with doubt, with despair, or saying you are no good? Are you listening to God being slandered? Call to Jesus. Resist the lies of Satan. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I pray today that the Holy Spirit reveals to all that hear these words that we are clay pots in the eyes of the world, but we are purest gold vessels inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Jesus sealed us for all eternity. We are a common violin of questionable value without the Master's touch, but with the Master's presence, we are of greatest value, given eternal worth, made to reflect Jesus for all eternity. If you want to know more about your identity in Jesus, I would ask you to stop up and talk to me afterwards, or talk to somebody else. It's an important subject. To know where your identity is, to know what you trust for the future. Because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us might receive what is due him for what is done in a body. It's like a great rewards banquet that we're going to stand before Jesus. And I just want you to be aware that our lives are going to be played back, and we'll be given rewards, or we have a lack of rewards for our life. So if you've called on the name of Jesus but struggle with sin, be reconciled with this truth, with this text. You are bought with the precious blood of Christ. See yourself as the Father sees you, alive in Christ and of eternal value. With the touch of the Master's hand, you can be transformed, made new, sealed for eternity, and prepared to suffer what comes against you. And you can start enjoying eternity today. Remember, God's power is channeled through human weakness. It's not what you can do. It's what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life. Let's pray. Lord God, take my rambling words and have your way with them. Lord, you've said that you will be exalted and you are above all, and that you've invited us to come and join you in this heavenly home that you've prepared for us. And so that's what we cry out for, Father. We want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to be done with the things that entangle us to this world. We want to magnify Jesus right here. You've called us to be ambassadors. You've called us out of darkness and into light. And that's what we ask, Father. Continue to give us strength. Let us set aside everything that entangles. And guide us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.